Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with us because we got our good buddy Bill Brandt back on the show. Bill is President and Chief Executive Officer of Development Specialists Incorporated, which is a turnaround company. They help companies get themselves back. They help them redeem themselves and get themselves back in business. And he's also very connected to the political process. He's also a world-traveling business executive, and he knows what's going on around the globe. So that's kind of like a renaissance man, isn't it? That's the way I think of Bill Brandt. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. I certainly live in the medieval ages, if that's what you mean by a renaissance man.
That's what I was thinking about, yeah.
I get paid like you, like I'm a knight in shining armor.
Well, I've seen your goofy shoes, too, and that's kind of another thing that made me think about that. Hey, Bill, let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about how things are going. I want you to help us with the global perspective, because clearly, you know, everything that happens in one part of the globe, causes a reaction in another part of the globe. We are in a flat Earth global economy type of situation here. And so, talk to us a little bit about what you see coming at us in the year ahead.
Well, you know, it's simply put, Jim, that everybody's talking about recovery, and they're saying, is these troubles we've had since the fourth quarter of 08, is this a V where we go down and come right up? Is this a U? You know, what's the shape of all of this? And I tell people, look, the easiest way to envision all of this is think of your bathtub.
Yeah.
And in the about August or September of 2008, we went down the side with the drain,
right,
as you recall, and we went all the way down to the drain. And rather than having a U or a V, what we are going to do is have this slow, graduated, almost imperceptible rise across the bottom of the bathtub,
yeah,
for the next 3 to 4 years. And sometime probably around 2013 or 2014, the public will begin to realize that we're already into the portion where we're going up the shallow end of the bathtub at about that kind of an incline,
yeah,
but having come a long way bouncing along the bottom for a long period of time, which will add to a great feeling of malaise by most of the folks in the public.
Yeah.
Everybody will have to get used to living on edge, to worrying about where your next customer comes, if you'll,
yeah,
have a job. There's going to be a pretty good period of foreboding here for at least through the next presidential election.
And also, probably sometime along the way, the draining will overcome the refilling. We'll have a little bit. There'll be some setbacks along the way, I think, don't you?
I do. I think if we keep using metaphors, however, Jim, the cops will come and arrest,
yeah,
us.
Well, my best example has been, you can't think of this recovery as a sprint. It's going to be like a marathon.
And that's true.
We got to pace ourselves.
Well, I think the other thing is, Jim, that this is much closer to the 1930s experience than it is to the 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
We truly have had a recalibration of our economy down to its core. And you know, you don't shake that off in 10 to 18 months and go back to normal.
Right.
I'm not sure we're ever going to go back to what people were thinking was normal in the latter half of the 90s and the first,
right,
half of this decade.
I think
that, you know, recapturing that period is a long way off, if ever. And we've got to get used to those recalibrated expectations.
Well, one of the things that I've said is that, and I started saying this a year ago, and that is that 2009 is the buffer year between the way we used to do business and the way we're going to do business. And as we stand here right now on the threshold of 2010, I think we are on the threshold of the next era. Going forward, the challenges and the opportunities that we're going to face, as we go forward, are going to look a lot different than the ones we've had in the past.
I think you're right. I think that, that last year, which by any account for most people was a year that we're all happy to see gone and turn the page
yep.
on, is the year of the recalibration. We have reset our expectations. The good news is most of us don't expect much at this point and are living day to day to make it work, planning a little tighter than we used to. But you're right, that's the bridge year. This year is going to be one of exploration. How do we learn to live with lower expectations and a little tighter to the edge than we got used to living for the last 10 years or so?
Now, one of the things, folks, that we know about in the recession, in the Great Depression, was that the recovery was hampered by public policy. And so when we come back, I'm going to ask Bill, who's eminently qualified to answer this question, how much concern does he have about the ability of government to be a problem in the recovery, to be more of a problem than a solution. And we'll get him to do that after these messages. 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Bill Brand is our guest. We'll be back. Stay with us. It took me by surprise. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. Lots of stuff there that will help you. You can find out about borrowing money, find out about capitalizing your company, about hiring employees, firing employees, managing your doing your tax planning, whatever topics you've got on your mind. Small Business Sun. We've got something there that will help you at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out my blog while you're there as well. And, of course, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there. I'm at Jim Blasingame. Bill Brand is our guest. He's the Chief Executive Officer, President, and Founder of Development Specialists Incorporated. And we're talking about the economy. We're talking about, going to talk a little bit about politics. Bill, you gave us a pretty good tour, as foreboding as it was. And I appreciate your honesty, and I couldn't quibble with your assessments at all. But one of the things that I believe two things. Number one, I believe that the American economy, the marketplace, I should say, I believe in the American marketplace, and I believe it will heal itself. I believe the economy will heal itself if given the opportunity to. But I think it will be hindered. It has the great potential to be seriously hindered by policies by our government, and that's where I have a great concern. And we've seen this in the past. We saw this in the 30s. There was, you know, instead of allowing the economy to recover, they raised taxes. They passed protectionist laws. They did a few other things that hindered the recovery. What do you think? What do you think is going on right now? What do you see going on right now? Is it going to help the recovery or hurt the recovery?
I know where you're going to come out on this, and surprisingly, I think I'm probably more in your camp than I am than in the camp of those who want to do more government intervention. I have also, like you, studied the 30s well, and I don't have a lot of problems with a lot of Roosevelt's programs. I think many of them worked. But as you well know, Jim, a lot of them didn't.
Yep.
And despite what everybody thinks, if you're just a casual observer of history, what cured the Depression was World War II, not
right.
government intervention.
That's right. That's exactly
I'm not
right.
anxious for World War III. I mean, things are bad, but they could get a lot worse.
Right.
So that cure is worse than the remedy is worse as a cure. So for my money, I'd like to look at, Bernanke is also, our Federal Reserve Chairman, is also a student of the 30s. I'm hoping that there are those who are looking at what worked in the 30s and trying to rejigger that versus what didn't work. Some of the make-work programs, you and I argue about this, could be adapted to this era. But the idea of simply propping up the banks and doing other things with the public's cash with very little accountability when you come down to it is not the wisest idea of growing our economy, to
right.
be sure.
Right. Well, the things that I'm concerned about, Bill, is we have people in charge of our government who think that the government knows how to create jobs and the government should pick winners and losers. The government should manipulate and move the money around here and there and anoint this group and take it away from that group. and with the money, and they don't understand that the job creation engine in America is in the marketplace. So motivate the marketplace to pick the winners and losers. Motivate the marketplace to take risks with tax cuts, for example, by not making regulations too onerous, by not making businesses worry about whether they're going to be taxed even more. Those are the kinds of type of policies that don't create job growth, and there's a it's just a way of looking at things that, in my opinion, is completely opposite of what needs to be done.
I couldn't agree more. I think that you and I both know that small business is the engine of this economy.
Yep.
Always will be, and it's great that GM and Chrysler are somehow being saved. But I sometimes worry about the cure being worse than the disease. I think that the regulatory schemes that you talk about are, in fact, smothering in many cases, and less regulation, or at least lighter regulation with a better touch towards what the outcome is supposed to be, would be far preferable than a heavy-footed intervention by the government into the economy.
Well, let me give you a classic example. They're talking about a new consumer protection regime on top of the banking industry that's already so regulated they almost can't do their business. This isn't going to cause banks to loan small businesses more money. This is going to cause them to loan less money.
Here we go our separate ways again. I'm not sure, as much as I would like to agree with you, that the banks are overregulated. If, in fact, they had been overregulated or regulated appropriately, we wouldn't be in the mess.
I'm not talking
in.
About Wall Street, though, Bill. I'm talking about Main Street, independent community banks, for example.
Yeah, but I think if you look at the consumer finance department they're talking about, what's really driving that issue is credit card lending, not small business lending. And now I will be the first to concede that you and I both know that many small businesses use as lines of credit personal credit cards.
That's how most startups get going.
No doubt about it. There is, having said that, I think that we could find an equilibrium, Jim, between some of the excessive interest rates, the late charges, and all the shenanigans that do happen with credit cards, and still find a way to extend the credit to small business.
Here's what I know, Bill, as we wrap up this segment. I know that when it comes to creating jobs, the government should defer to the marketplace, and Senator Reid and Speaker Pelosi and even President Obama should admit that they don't know how to create jobs. Neither one of the three of them have any clue about how to promote job growth, and they should leave that to the professionals. And that's just all.
Jim, I think that everybody in Congress should admit to that.
I agree with you, but we're not going to get that, are we? Stand by 10 till right back with Bill Brandt after these messages. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't want to miss a second of our opportunity of time with our good friend Bill Brandt. He's got so much to teach us. Bill is the founder and the president of Development Specialists Incorporated, DSI.biz, right? Right,
that is www.dsi.biz.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
We're a corporate restructuring and workout firm. We're one of the oldest in the industry, been around for about 35 years since the mid-70s. So we've put together a website that talks about who we are, what we do. It has, as you point out, a variety of articles. You're kind enough to point that out from time to time.
Yep.
Which are almost case studies. And we see a broad range of industries from aerospace to manufacturing to lodging and motel industries, hospitality, the full gamut of industries. And there's somebody within one of our shops across the land that's dealt with your industry before, be it ethanol, be it refining, be it, as I say, hotels. And, I would encourage your listeners, any of them who are wondering about the current viability of their business, to visit the site. And if there's an article there that might help them or give them perspective, I'm happy that turns out to be.
And if you need someone to help you, that's what Bill does. And, Bill, it's appropriate, though, to point out that, that this environment that we have right now, these conditions we have, is exactly your business. I mean, it's what you do, helping people. So right now, sadly, for the other side of the desk, This is a good time of a good time for you. I mean, you got a lot of business, don't you?
We are, as they would say, technically counter-cyclical, so we are in high cotton these days, which we, you know, which we always appreciate, but we don't lose sight of the fact that for the greater economy, that's not such a good thing. On the other hand, Jim, we exist because there is risk.
That's right.
And banks charge interest because there is risk, and because where there is risk, there is failure, or at least there is, you know, some difficulties. But, you know, I think as you and I were talking during the break, the real problem for many of your listeners isn't so much structural right now. It is the lending environment,
right?
The lack of working capital, the lack of anybody having faith that there will be a future here, which I think is the biggest problem that we encounter. The bankers, when you get to taking a sober look at it, just have to have faith in the American entrepreneur and what they've been capable of for more than, you know, two centuries, and what they're still capable of.
Well, and what do you see coming at us out there in terms of the banking landscape?
Well, I think that the banks are going to do, right now they're pulling in their horns, not because they're afraid of risk, but because they're concerned about their capital requirements.
Yep.
The easiest way for them to prop up their capital base is to call in their old loans and not make new ones.
Right.
That's entirely counterproductive and can be. I mean, when you're talking about what the government can do, that's one thing the government can do. On the regulatory provisions of banks, they can do things to help banks cover the capital requirements and still make loans. It you know, not getting crazy again,
right?
But there are ways to do that, and that hasn't been done very effectively. Using the bully pulpit to just say to the banks, make loans, is not probably.
It's not going to work when the way you're treating them on the other end of the pulpit is you know, something that they don't like. One of my predictions was that big banks would not, regardless of their balance sheets, regardless of paying back TARP. Big banks would not resume lending to small businesses this year.
Well, and you're right, and they won't be doing it for quite a while. But the truth of the matter is, most of your listeners and the people I deal with are now finding that the small regional and community banks are where their bread is really buttered.
And really always has been, Bill.
I don't disagree. You and I talked often in the years gone by on this show about, you know, it's never a bad time to walk in and get to know your regional banker or your community banker. Sit down, take them to lunch, even if you don't need to borrow money now. Explain to them that you bank with them. Here's what you do for a living. Let them understand your business. Because if you show up one day and say, I need cash fast, you know, there's they used to say in my marriage, there's no foreplay. So, you know, at that point, let them understand your business. Let them understand you're a good customer. So when you show up and need them to do what they do best, they have an understanding and can be more responsive.
But, Bill, as long as we have, but we also know that the community banks can only go so far. They can only take your company so far. And then they have to hand you off to a bank upstream. And as long as that's not happening, our economy is going to be hampered.
That's true. But for most of your listeners right now, I think, you know, I'm going to guess, but I think that 90% of your listeners could operate well within community
Absolutely.
And banks right now.
Absolutely. No question.
You know, Bill, we should all be so lucky when it comes to pass-off time, because that means we're growing nicely.
That's right. But I got 30 seconds. One last question.
Sure.
Healthcare, fait accompli?
Sadly, it is, yes.
The healthcare bill, you and I both agree.
Well, it's not a healthcare bill. As you know, it's an insurance preservation bill. And if I could buy stock in insurance companies, these are the winners.
That's the reason I actually call it the so-called healthcare reform bill, because it's not about healthcare reform. It's about
an insurance industry renewal
bill. It's all about politics. But it's going to happen probably before the State of the Union.
Nah, I'm thinking more like mid-February.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Thanks. Bill Brandt, ladies and gentlemen, DSI.biz. Check it out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.